Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command, Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson. Logan spent a decade in the National Football League. Of course, you can listen to me, 106.7 The Fan, from 2 to 6.30. We are in a Paulson household. You'll have to guess which Paulson household we're in. Thank you for welcoming us into your home.
No, this is great, man. Guess. Thank you for welcoming us. I love it. Here we go.
I don't know what just happened. What are you laughing at?
Because you were like, thank you for welcoming us in your home. Because you're like, which Paulson household? And you're like, thank you for welcoming us in your home.
Well, I gave the answer.
Yeah,
it's no longer a mystery.
Yeah, no.
But I am thanking you.
No, dude.
You've opened your home to me a Paulson, and you've opened your home to our listeners.
That is true. So I was thinking about this. Like, we've actually hung out a little bit. Like, you've seen, you've met my horse, you've met my kids, my wife, we've hung out, I met your kids.
Like, yeah.
We're actually, but this is funny that you've never been here, I think.
Yeah. I mean, typically we're doing something out here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's far enough away from home that where there's like an event and we're like, oh, I'll meet you there. So it's never this is the rally point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's great. And we'll give you guys the full tour if you're cool with that. I'll just take the camera, like bathroom, nothing crazy. I'll just open up the cabinet and just like look around and just make sure.
Just make a bit. Yeah, it's good.
Some drawers.
Nothing.
Nothing intrusive. Okay. Do you care about our viewers?
Yeah, right.
Or you don't care about our viewers. All right. So lots to get into. In fact, there's a ton of news. I've got it all on this sheet right here. But I'm going to start with a kicking update. And the reason is we have a major kicking development. Okay, we had a player retire from the Commanders. We have a signing. All of that can wait. Because here's what happened today. We got a new leader in the kicking competition from practice. And I'm not joking. The rookie, Drew Stevens, has pulled ahead. He was terrific today at practice. He was 6 for 6. In fact, he ended up being even better than that because he was 5 for 5 in drills, hit another field goal. So he was 7 for 7 overall. So he is now 20 of 22 at camp.
Okay.
20 of 22. Jake Moody is now 18 of 21. And you're going, but Grant, what's going on here? He hadn't missed any kicks. That's because today he missed 3 kicks.
Wow.
Moody, a 3 for 6 day, missed from 48, 49, and 56 yards. Meanwhile, Stevens, true from everywhere, including a 56-yard field goal. We're going to pause 1 second for station identification while Logan sees who's at the door. All right, we're done with what happened at the door. Back to the kicking battle. So 3 for 6 day for Jake Moody, who hadn't missed a kick all camp.
So I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, were they bad misses? I was at practice.
Wide left, not bad misses, like shanked terribly, but they were wide left pretty considerably. There was only one that was kind of like, almost a make, could have pinged off of an upright. But the bottom line is, after what was 5 days of work, 4 days of us being out there, and the kid had missed 2 kicks and Moody was perfect, the kid flawless today has now missed fewer kicks in camp.
We're back in it.
Has the bigger leg,
like
struck
that,
the ball
man.
A little better. One day makes a difference.
I think this is, I'm not big on the kicking battle. Like, it'll.
You haven't mentioned that.
The chips will fall where they may. You know what I mean? But I do think this is pretty indicative of how training camp goes. What I mean by that is, like, even though we're talking about kickers right now, for every other position, the kind of the same rhythm happens. Like, oh, this guy's balling, this guy's balling, this guy's balling. And all of a sudden, it's kind of a bad day. And then someone else kind of usurps that position. So I think this is really cool that we're kind of getting some data, even though it's applying to kickers, about the direction of training camp. And like, it's the same thing for other positions. Cause like, it's so funny when I talk to fans, like, oh, you said this guy was having a really good camp. And I was like, yeah, that was 5 days ago. So like, things change pretty quickly. And I think this is a pretty good indication of that.
All right. So I'm going to get the full tally. I got it all in my notebook. It'll be at Grant Paulson on Twitter. Go check it out there. Someone came up to me today at practice, a fan, and was like, kicking Paulson, what were the numbers there? So you guys,
the bit is crazy.
Yeah, the brand is strong.
And you know what's funny is I've actually got some negative pushback for not being on the kicking bag.
Correctly. Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised by that, actually.
I'm not in any way. You've been very dismissive and condescending about kickers for far too long. And I'm glad to see that the people are onto you. All right, let's get to the other stuff. And frankly, the reason you guys are here. So some news and notes off the top. This is training camp day 5. This is practice day 4 for us. Akilo Witherspoon retired.
Yeah.
That is wild to me. Here's what I don't get about this. I literally had him from yesterday's practice. So we're recording this on Tuesday, on Monday, as like having a really good practice, making a couple plays, tight coverage on a touchdown to Okonkwo where Jaden threw him open. Like there were some competitive moments. And I even said this on my show yesterday on 106.7 The Fan. I feel a lot better at corner than I did at the start of camp. Yeah. And one of the reasons is Rasul Douglas has been awesome, and Akilo Witherspoon looks like he can play. It's just crazy to me that you could be out there like in that heat, sweating, bleeding, the stuff you have to put your body through, have like a legitimately good practice by I think all accounts. Yeah, yeah. And then the next morning or night, I don't know when he did it, but you just like call Adam Peters and you're like, I'm good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that possible?
Dude, I'll tell you this. So first off, I had the exact same reaction. And it was funny because I kept talking to people. Like, I thought you had a really good day. And they're like, oh, I didn't notice that. I don't know. So I'm really glad that we're aligned on that front. So I'll tell you this. So when I was a rookie, I remember talking to Chris Cooley and basically being like, man, I'm going to do this forever. This is the best job of all time. He's like, at some point, you're going to get to a moment where you're like, I can't do it anymore. And I was like, there's no way.
Physically or mentally?
But mentally. And you're going to be like, there's no way I'm going to get there because this is the best job ever. And I'll tell you, when I got to Houston, I went through that whole thing. I got cut there and I came home. And I remember there was a couple teams that called me and I was like, old Logan would have just been on the plane and getting out of there. But mentally, I had lost whatever competitive edge that was. And it was done in an instant. It was like done in a 24-hour period. It was the oddest thing I've ever experienced in my whole life.
You knew it was over.
I was just like, I'm done.
And this is when you actually retired?
Yes.
When did you leave? It wasn't during camp.
No, I left. It was like, so I got cut in Atlanta, went to Houston, was there for 8 weeks or 9 weeks while they were kind of bringing some young players along. I didn't play, but I practiced every day, went through this really...
I saw you in Houston. Yeah. I was covering in October.
That's right. And we talked.
ALCS, and you came by the hotel and we hung out.
Yeah. And then I remember like we kind of had our first conversation about maybe doing XFL stuff.
But yeah.
When I got back here, I was like all ready to play football. But when I got back to my house, I saw my kids, saw my wife. I was like, I don't think I can play football anymore. And it was just like that. And so,
really?
Yeah. And it was the oddest thing, but I wonder if Akello had a similar experience.
He had to have. I mean, again, though, like if I'm watching a guy at practice and he is just doesn't have it or he's struggling, or even if we haven't noticed them or it's like he's the ninth receiver or something like this does happen. It's not completely unheard of. What's crazy to me is that he was by all accounts like playing pretty decently. Now maybe there's a numbers crunch, and I thought about this where you're getting Trey Amos back. Douglas came in here and played pretty well.
That's a good point.
He wasn't a lock to make the roster perhaps. But he did not ask them for a release. That's very different. If you go to them and go, hey, guys, look, I'm a veteran. I want to keep playing. It's probably not going to be here. I know it and you know it.
That's a great point.
He didn't do that. He just retired. I also thought about this. I looked it up. He's a West Coast guy. He's probably far away from his family. Like that. This all is a factor.
Yeah.
But hopefully I'm editorializing this correctly. I just was so floored by this today because I could show you like three times where I wrote him down yesterday and I'm like, he's pretty good.
I actually like because I keep he changed his number from spring to now.
Yeah, he was 24.
And I keep being like, who is 24?
Yeah.
I said that to myself multiple times or something. I'm like, it's Akello. And I literally had the same thought. I was like, man, he's actually done some really good stuff over the last, it wasn't just that one day, the last two or three days.
Agreed.
And so again, very surprising, but like when that moment comes, it comes quickly, apparently.
So what is that like, do you think? The conversation? Do they try to talk him out of it? Or as soon as a player comes to you and basically says, I got to go. You probably are thankful that they're being that honest. You don't want to talk them out of it because, you know, that means they're not committed. Like, how do you think that went?
Well, I think obviously it's different for different people. Like you're on the retirement list, which means that if you were to come back, you'd come back to this team.
Right. That's important because someone's like, well, maybe he's just going to latch on somewhere else. He literally can't. Yeah. I mean, by retiring, Washington keeps your rights. If he really just wanted to go sign somewhere else because he didn't think he was going to make it, then you just ask for your release.
Yeah, right. And so I think that's the thing is like maybe you're kind of like, hey, think about it for a couple of days. We'll put it in. But if you change your mind, like you're coming back here and you play. I, obviously, like if Adafe always says that, I think you're having a really hard, like, long conversation. Yeah. Like, Adafe, like, what are we doing? Like, let's make sure we're playing football this year. But, you know, for a down-the-roster guy, if they want to retire, it's like, hey, you know, like, thank you for your service. I think it just depends on how important and how significant you would be for the organization.
So that means they needed a corner and made a pretty quick decision to bring in Fabian Moreau. In fact, simultaneously announced that Witherspoon was retiring and that they'd sign Moreau. You guys all remember the name, Fabian Moreau, UCLA product, third-round pick, 81st overall in the 2017 draft by Washington. Feels like a long time ago, 9 years ago, but he spent the first 4 years of his career here. In fact, a lot of people liked him. I remember covering that draft higher than the third round, but he was coming off of a serious injury in college, and it pushed him down the board. He ended up playing as a rookie but not starting, was pretty much a full-time starter at different points during his sophomore year. In the end, his best years of his career, he left Washington, he went to Atlanta, played with the Giants and the Broncos. Bunch of starts, 56 career starts, over 120 career games in 9 years. The reason I think they're interested in him, he played the last 2 years in Minnesota in this defense with Durante Jones.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think when I saw that they had signed him, it made a ton of sense because of the familiarity with Durante Jones. And this defense, again, like, it looks very complex when you're watching it on the field. The coverages look complex. The blitzes look complex. There's a lot of variety at multiple levels of the defense. And so getting someone in here who's been there, heard the language, can adopt it quickly, I think it's really important, especially at this moment in camp, right? Especially if that guy's going to play minutes for you. I think this is a really good signing to offset the retirement of Akella Witherspoon.
The corner position, and it would have made for a better conversation before Akella Witherspoon retired, but I said this in passing on the last pod. I wanted to drill down more on it even before this news. I feel way better about it than I did coming into camp. I feel like I harped on it a lot all offseason. There were times where I said it was a bigger issue than wide receiver. Now, to Adam Peters and the team's credit, they have tweaked and continued to add. Yeah. Witherspoon was a guy they brought in. They brought in Rasul Douglas, now Fabian Moreau. So, like, there are veterans here. But just watching, having been at every practice, Trey Amos has not practiced yet. He's going to come back from the PUP list, so he'll be back in days, not weeks. It sounds like very, very close, imminently. Amik Robertson's pretty physical. I know he didn't grade out very well via PFF, but he's a very competitive guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like his demeanor, chip on his shoulder guy in the secondary. Mikey Sandra still's having a really, really good camp. I actually thought two practices ago, so yesterday on Monday, he was awesome, made a couple PPUs in the end zone. And then otherwise, you've still got, like, they're kind of creative with who they're using in the slot. We've seen some Tyler Owens. We've seen some Quan Martin. There's not a lot of, like, down the depth chart cornerback depth. Antonio Hamilton's a guy that played well when he got a chance last year. I don't know a lot about Fred Davis II. The extent of my Fred Davis knowledge is that he's here and he has the same name as a former tight end. That's kind of where I'm at on Fred Davis II.
I mean, he had a really nice PBU against Jaden Bradley caught the kind of end of the practice fade a couple days ago. But I like Fred Davis's film, Fred Davis II, coming out of Northwestern. Because he's hyper-competitive, right? He's physical. He's got good eyes in zone. He's a good tackler. So he kind of fits the mold. I don't know if he's got a shot to make the 53. I think the other thing that's important to note here, as we've talked about it, is one of the things we speculated about was them kind of wanting to stay in base defense because that's what Minnesota did. That's what they've done in large part. You know, obviously there's exceptions to this, but in large part they've been in base. And I think that, again, offsets some of this lack of, like, cornerback depth. If you're in a lot of nickel, you're in a lot of dime.
Yeah, you're not in a lot of dime. Yeah. You need fewer guys.
Right, kind of. So I think that's kind of what I'm getting.
Amos Sanristil, Robertson, Douglas are like, put them in Sharpie, four locks, I would say. And then maybe Moreau's competing for a fifth spot. They also are heavy at safety.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be able to play some guys in the nickel or move some guys around, maybe, you know, you keep four corners or something, but you keep an extra safety where you've got, like, I haven't seen Will Harris working with the ones much, surprisingly, but it's like him, it's Nick Cross, it's Jeremy Reeves, it's Quan Martin, Percy Butler, the list goes on, like Tyler Owens. So maybe that's what they do. It's like 10, 11 DBs, but it's lopsided towards safeties.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think, you know, like, again, we haven't, there's nothing definitive here, but when you look at what Minnesota did, they would kind of go base as the primary, run like a defensive front or defense personnel, excuse me. And then they kind of go nickel, but they'd use a safety. And then in like a very specific situation, they'd put three DBs on the field. So I think maybe that's kind of how that roster structure construction feels to me when I look at it. So I think that's maybe the direction they're going.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, take command. You texted me after we talked about center on the last pod. You said there were some things you wanted to get into that you thought about after our conversation. So we could do that next. I also would like to talk about a player that I thought had his best practice today. He was pretty important to the wide receiver room. We'll do that next.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.